Hello, hello, everyone. We are live. Today is September 16th, 2025. Welcome to everyone jumping in the United States and around the world. I literally got off the plane, came home, and within the hour are live with you. This was my schedule today. Given what is unfolding, I am back from Warrior, Alabama. Interesting story to tell you about the things the Lord showed down there. So basically, this is why I had to get on a plane today, come home, and me and my lovely team had to go live tonight because there are things that have to be spoken about. Very serious things. An urgent word of warning that I'm going to go over because a prophetic timeline has been triggered in everything that we have seen transpire in the past week and a half. A most certain prophetic timeline has been triggered in this that we have to talk about, because if we don't get ahead of this timeline, it's going to cause more catastrophe in the nation. So this is about literally getting ahead of the timeline and thwarting the cycle and the plans that the enemy is attempting to put in place, and the church is a big part of it. So let's see who's jumping in for a few minutes here. Oh, I see Louisiana, Pennsylvania, Kansas, Rhode Island, California, Salem, Virginia. Welcome, welcome. Hello to all our friends in those states. Indiana as well. Ohio, Chicago, Baltimore, Maryland. Hello, hello to you as well. Saddlebrook, New Jersey. Hello to our wonderful neighbors in New Jersey. I see Missouri as well. Oh, yes, I have something to talk about, me and Robin, because this is how the timeline got figured out. Wait till you hear the story of how this, Robin's going to tell it on his next time he broadcasts as well. And he called me actually an hour before I went live. Robin called me and said, make sure you tell them, Amanda, how this all transpired. And I said, will do. So we're going to be doing that as well. Winter Haven, Florida, welcome, welcome to you. Medford, Oregon, hello to our wonderful friends in Oregon. There's Gladstone as well. Adirondacks, hello to our neighbors in the Adirondacks. So happy to see you as well. Oh, let's see who else is coming in here. I see Florida. I see multiple Floridas. Welcome, welcome to our friends on the East Coast. And let's see who else. Oh, I'm looking. Pueblo, West Colorado. Welcome to our wonderful friends in Colorado. South Dakota, I see as well. Tasmania, Australia. Hello to our wonderful friends across the world in Tasmania, Australia, and our international audience who we now see coming in. We're thrilled to have you with us, as well as I see multiple Texases coming in. Welcome, welcome, as well as Alabama, which I just got back from. So hello to our wonderful friends in Alabama. Bermuda, I see. Welcome to our friends in Bermuda as well. Hello to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So the dogs are thrilled I'm back. Chester is climbing in a box. All three dogs are on the floor right now. This office is crawling with animals, so you never know who you're going to see through this broadcast. But we're going to open up in prayer before I get into this, because some of this is heavy stuff, but it's got to be talked about because it's a word of warning. It's what the Lord, I'll get into the account first, showed me while I was in Warrior, Alabama. And so I'm going to open up in prayer, and then we're going to get into this tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you this day. We praise you because you are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord, due your precious holy name. We humble ourselves before you this day, asking that the pull of the flesh becomes less in our lives, so you, your will, and your power become more in our lives. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Forgive us of every way we sin and fall short, Father God. We all fall incredibly short of the glory of God. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We praise you. Your mercies, Lord, are new every single day. And we acknowledge you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And he literally descended into the underworld after he said, it is finished, and he paid the price in full. He descended into the underworld. He took the keys from death. He defeated hell, death, and the grave. He miraculously rose again by the power of Almighty God. He ascended back into heaven. He took his rightful place at the right end of the Father, where Jesus Christ rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, let your power, your presence, your truth, the weight of your glory, your might begin to mightily, mightily move in this place, Father God. Let your power mightily go forth. Let the Holy Spirit mightily go forth and be the counselor, Father God, and minister to those who are watching. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you would lead and guide me and the team tonight in your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord and those watching as well. That you would fill me, Lord, and our team in the name of Jesus Christ with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Order my words tonight, Father God. Order our steps as we go forth. Be our front and rear guard, Father God, as we go forth mightily in you. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Father, allow me and the team the humble privilege, Lord, of being vessels of your power. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you would loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to surround the skies, the land, above and below, to guard against every dimensional access point, Father God, as we go forth tonight, Father God. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, violence, slander, intimidation, curse, hex, vex, spell, witchcraft of any kind that would attempt to come against this broadcast, that would come against us in the team, Ark of Grace Ministries, Ark of Grace Sanctuary, Lord, the animals under our care, Father, everything you have given us, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke those attacks now. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, they're destroyed, dismantled, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans, and cast back to the areas you have designated for such to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return, nor have anything sent to this place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We must certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Father God. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Without your breath in us, we are the dust of the earth. We owe you every breath, Father God. Your word says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, Father. And we praise you, Father God. We hand this over to you tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to everybody who's jumping on right now. Oh, always good to start in prayer. You get a second wind, I'm telling you. When you invite the presence of the Lord in, you just get a second wind and you're ready to go again. So, if you could share this broadcast right now, we would very much appreciate it, because this is a word of warning. This timeline has got to get out there. The church has to be a big part of dismantling what I am about to tell you. You know, it's a horrific thing, because a family has been shattered, and I mean shattered, in the midst of this. And I'm talking about the Kirk family. And this timeline the Lord revealed is to try to stop catastrophe from striking again and then again, and shattering other families right now as well, because it's hard enough knowing the hurt and the grieving that they're going through because of all of this. And we'd like to try to get ahead of this timeline that literally has been triggered by the death of Charlie Kirk. So we're going to get into that. Let me tell you the story of what happened and how this came to be. So I was down preaching at Church International, and last night the Bullocks came over. They were gracious enough to let us stay at one of their properties. And so they came over with dinner, and he starts talking to me about the timeline, because we kept going back and forth, me and Robin about the timeline. And how Robin, when this had first happened to Charlie Kirk, had mentioned Stephen. And then we started talking about the book of Acts. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I started talking about Acts 9:1. And then Robin looks right at me, goes, "Now, Amanda, who's James and who's Peter?" Because it was Stephen, and then James was killed, and then the church interceded for Peter. So that hit me in my spirit. After they left, I began to pray and just meditate on this and kind of in my spirit talk to the Lord about this. Well, all of a sudden, I started hearing. I perceive it to be the Lord because the way it was being spoken to me and how it was being presented. And I started to text the Bullocks immediately and tell them, I know who James is, I think, and I know who Peter is. And this is what the timeline looks like. And we have been literally thrust into the book of Acts. We have been thrust into the time of the Acts church. And this is what the timeline the enemy right now is literally trying to keep intact in order to steal, kill, and destroy at the highest levels in this nation. And so I began to tell Robin, and I'll get into who James and who Peter is, who James and Peter are, and why we have to get ahead of it to pray. And me and Robin went back and forth about this, and Mrs. Robin Bullock, and talking about this. And this is how this all transpired. So, and we literally were texting this morning again about this because the Lord had me up praying during the night about this. And then this morning, Robin texted me and we were talking about this some more. And I knew I was going on today because of this, and he knew he was going on today because of this. But literally over 24 hours, this has totally transpired and this timeline has totally taken shape. So I want to start 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 10 through 13 first. And then I'm going to take you to the book of Acts. We're going to go right to the book of Acts from this. Then the king of Israel sent word to the place about which Elisha had warned him. So he guarded himself there repeatedly. The prophet gave the warning. The king was on guard. The king didn't let down his guard and continued. Verse 11, now the heart of the king of Aram, who was from Syria, was enraged over this thing. He called his servants and said to them, "Will you not tell me which one of us is helping the king of Israel?" One of his servants said, "None of us is helping him, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is so that I may send men and seize him." And he was told he is in Dothan. Now, Syria, as in Assyria, okay? The Assyrian Empire was founded in 911 BCE. So this is all going to be connected, what I'm about to say. We have been thrust in this time as well because these ancient false gods of Assyria are at work, which means the prophets have to start blowing the whistle on what's being said in the bedchambers, on what the corrupt kings and leaders are plotting in their bedrooms. We are being thrust into this time parallel to the book of Acts because the time requires it. Now, we're going to prophetically march to the book of Acts to reveal a prophetic timeline and word of warning that has been triggered by the death of Charlie Kirk that the church needs to catch hold of in this hour with an urgency, and I mean an urgency, and pray in order to thwart the plans of the enemy that he literally has set up in this prophetic timeline. So, according to Ecclesiastes, there is a time to recognize seasons under heaven, prophetic seasons, seasons and times that the sons of Issachar recognize, and they could tell what was coming because they were given an ability by God to do this. We see these prophetic timelines unfold in this nation over the past decade. You have Obama, Biden, the two kings, Saul before he lost his mind, Saul after he lost his mind. You have Jehu coming on the scene as Ahab falls. Which was Biden, Harris rises, which is the second half of Jezebel laughing on the wall. Jehu comes in, throws her down. Jehu was the son of Nimshi. He was raised up to be a warrior. The name Nimshi means extricated, which means freed from an entanglement, such as maybe a legal entanglement, like we saw President Trump involved in. Now, you recognize the times, you can tell what's coming. And that is what the sons of Issachar did. That is what the prophets do. This is what the church really needs to get hold of and do in this time. And I will tell you, the occult world, the occult will purposely muddy the waters, purposely make it muddy, try to make it hard to discern and confuse it to throw you off while they absolutely believe what they are attempting to make you doubt. That is highly manipulative, and that goes on. Now, that was a big part of Herod's reign, and we'll get into that, but that was part of Herod's reign. So Acts chapter 7, now we're getting to Acts. Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 59. When the council members heard Stephen's speech, they were angry and furious, but Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. He looked toward heaven, where he saw our glorious God and Jesus standing at his right side. Then Stephen said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right side of God. The council members shouted and covered their ears. At once they all attacked Stephen and dragged him out of the city. Then they started throwing stones at him. The men who had brought charges against him put their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul, who was from the tribe of Benjamin. This was Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul. Verse 59, as Stephen was being stoned to death, he called out, Lord Jesus, please welcome me. He knelt down and shouted, Lord, don't blame them for what they have done. And then he died. Stephen debated in a hostile environment to turn minds. Stephen did what Charlie Kirk did, went into hostile environments of people that didn't believe, college campuses of hostile people, and debated using faith as well as the political climate in order to turn minds. Because this prophetic timeline does have to do with a turning point. It has to do with a turning point. The enemy wants to take this nation, and a turning point the church really's got to take the nation right now. Now, Acts 8, verse 1. Saul approved the stoning of Stephen. Some faithful followers of the Lord buried Stephen and mourned very much for him. Now, Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. Now, Saul to Paul, and I'm telling you this, Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. I would pray and intercede for Ben Shapiro. Benjamin Shapiro, because I believe his life is about to take a Saul Pharisee to Paul champion of the faith turn, because this is a road to Damascus moment for him and for this nation. Keep that in mind. But Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee. He didn't believe in Jesus Christ. He debated against people that believed in Jesus Christ, and his life after the death of Stephen takes a drastic turn, and Christ appears on the road to Damascus and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I'm telling you, you got to pray for Ben Shapiro, because this is a Saul to Paul. I'm telling you, you got to intercede and pray for this man right now, because I believe this is going to be a Saul to Paul turn in this man's life. Now, to go on, Saul in this is a party as well. It's a spirit. It's a vile, bloodthirsty, dominating spirit that looks to destroy those who operate in the true power of God, not just a production of it. You know, they don't just act it. They actually stand for righteousness. And what's going on is with that spirit that influenced Saul of Tarsus, they acted like they stood for righteousness while pushing for the killing and bloodshed of innocent Christians. And that is what went on. Now, that happens in Acts 7 and 8. Acts 7 and 8, you have Stephen's death after debating in a hostile environment. You have Saul witnessing the death of Stephen. And then we go to Acts 12. This is where it's going to get very interesting, very fast. We go to Acts 12. In Acts 12, James is killed and Peter is imprisoned by Herod Agrippa, which means, by the way, born feet first, which is a breached birth. It's backwards. Keep that in mind. Herod was a puppet king over the Jews installed by Rome. He was not appointed by God. He was set up by man as a proxy. Rome had little conscience. It was a barbaric empire. Barbaric in persecution, had a deep state as well, and those in the occult advising at the highest levels. That was the temperature of Rome when the Acts church entered a time of persecution and fiercely grew because of it. Now, Acts 12, 1 through 5. Now at that time, Herod Agrippa, the king of the Jews, arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to harm them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to have Peter arrested as well. This was during the day of unleavened bread, the Passover week. So Passover 2026, high alert, first of all. Secondly, Passover 2026 happens to come early at the beginning of April. Verse 4, when he had seized Peter, he put him in prison, turning him over to four squads of soldiers, of four each to guard him, planning after the Passover, so right after Passover, to bring him out before the people for execution. So Peter was kept in prison, but fervent and persistent prayer for him was being made to God by the church. So fervent and persistent prayer was not made for James, but it was made for Peter. This is the difference the church can make in this time. Acts 12, 7 through 12. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared beside Peter, and a light shone in the cell. The angel struck Peter's side and awakened him, saying, "Get up quickly," and the chains fell off his hand. The angel said to him, "Prepare yourself and strap on your sandals," and he did so. Then the angel told him, "Put on your robe and follow me," and Peter went out following the angel. He did not realize that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first guard and the second, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city. Of its own accord, it swung open for them, and they went out and went along one street, and at once the angel left him. When Peter came to his senses, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting to do to me." So this is around the time of the High Holy Days. This happens around the time of Passover. Currently, what we have just seen happen in this nation occurs around the time of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is another High Holy Day, a set of them that occurs in September. Also, the persecution was coming from Rome through a proxy. So the persecution against Stephen, against James, against Peter was coming from Rome because a proxy king had partnered with Rome and proxy Pharisees had partnered with Rome. So the persecution was partially coming from their own side. They were partially being killed and persecuted, keep this in mind, by their own side, because their own side was partnered with Rome. Keep that in mind. Their own side was partnered with Rome. It goes Stephen, then James, then Peter. Stephen dies. James dies by the sword. Peter lives because the church was praying and interceding for Peter. Now, to bring it to what is happening now, the last name Kirk means church. So an attack on the church, the Acts church, those in the church who are willing to advance Jesus Christ in the nation, but it's more than that. It's the ecclesia, that part that is advancing as a ruling body, influencing the leadership of this nation and the government and the political. This is a biblical timeline we as the church have to pay close attention to, because the church interceded for Peter back in Acts, but not for James. This is the word of warning I'm about to give you. The biblical timeline is the time of the Acts Church 9-1-1 that we're looking at. Now, the first time I spoke this was August 28th, 2025, before this tragedy, because I was sensing it from the Lord back then, and that broadcast was called Acts 9-1-1. The death of Charlie Kirk triggered a prophetic biblical timeline that dark powers are attempting to fulfill and carry out once again through a Herod and through a Saul. Saul and Herod were working together. They were playing kind of for the same team before he became Paul. Now, if we take this timeline and superimpose it on what we see going on now, Charlie Kirk was Stephen. His death began a persecution of the church. which means the church is going to intensely grow in this time more than it will in any other time, probably in recent history. But after Stephen was James. And this is where I was praying after the bullocks left. And I said, Lord, who is James? Who is Peter? Well, J.D. Vance's first name is James. His name actually is James David Vance, to be exact. Herod killed, think about this, Herod killed James and Saul chased David. His name literally is James David. He's attached to both Herod and Saul that were persecuting the church back in Acts. I want to play for you a clip to prove this of J.D. Vance. He said something in a speech that the Lord woke me up last night, and I just happened to find this. When he woke me up, I started to pray, and then this happened to pop up on my phone, and I saw this speech that he's given in the past few days. I want to play this clip for you of what James David Vance said.
I can't promise you this is going to be easy. I can't promise you that all of us will avoid Charlie's fate. I can't promise you that I will avoid Charlie's fate. But the way to honor him is to shine the light of truth like a torch in the very darkest places. Go do it. We owe it to our friend to ensure that his killer is not just prosecuted but punished. And the worst punishment is not the death penalty, but the knowledge that Charlie's mission continues after he's gone.
Okay, is there the other part of the clip where he says he cannot promise? There's another part of that clip that says, I cannot promise that the same fate that befell Charlie won't befall him. It's a little bit after that. So if you can find it and put it back up, because I actually had it, and that I want to play that part because it's super important to this. And I'm actually going to look for this right now as well to see, because I had it at 14 in the 14 minute mark. But let me see. Here we go.
Or Charlie's fate.
Okay. See, I have it at 14:07, but that's not coming up, I don't think, for our team. Because it's 20 minutes and 35 seconds total, and I have it 14 minutes and 7 seconds in, and he said he can't promise he will not avoid Charlie's fate. This is what he looked into the camera and said. So if we could find that, you could just throw it up when you find it. And just put it up while I'm talking, because in that speech that we put up, James David looks at the camera and says he cannot promise he will not suffer the same fate as Charlie Kirk. He looks in the camera and he says it. And him and Charlie worked together the way James and Stephen worked together. James, now we're going to get even deeper here, was the brother of John. They worked together. Donald Trump's middle name is John. President Trump's middle name is John. John survived multiple assassination attempts on his life, while James did not, because it depended on the church. This is the timeline that is unfolding before our very eyes. So you have James, the brother of John, and they work together. President Trump's middle name is John. J.D. Vance's first name is James. They work together. Then on top of this, you have Peter. So first you've got James, you got Stephen, James, and then Peter. Peter was a believer. He was a disciple. He worked with Stephen and James directly and indirectly, and John. So Peter worked with Stephen. Peter worked with James. Peter worked as well with John. The head of the Department of Defense, or the Department of War, happens to be Peter Hegseth. Peter in the Gospels was scrappy. He was a fighter. And Peter Hegseth is the head of the newly named Department of War. Peter was prayed for, James was not, and it was the difference. And we as the church, recognizing the timeline, can intercede and change that so this cycle does not repeat itself. The enemy will go to great lengths in this season to cause this cycle to repeat itself in what is unfolding in our nation. So we need to fervently intercede for James David Vance and for Peter Hegseth. This is an urgent call to prayer. This is a word to the church. We must disrupt the timeline through the power and authority we have been given through Christ Jesus and truly intercede and recognize what is happening here, because they all work together. See, that's the key. All of them were running in the same circle, working together. And if this prophetic timeline remains intact, it has a great potential to scatter believers, scatter the heirs, and send America into a spiral. It doesn't have to be that way. When the church can realize and get ahead of the timeline, you can intercede and you can actually thwart, through Christ Jesus, these events from happening. The enemy is after the heirs right now. It's that spirit that wants the heirs, that wants to destroy the heirs to manipulate the timelines. It's after the heirs. This is why you have to pray for President Trump's sons too, because this spirit is after heirs. Anyone that could ascend to highest seats in the land right now, the enemy is after those heirs. Just like Herod and Saul and that spirit were after the disciples, because it had a propensity to change Rome. And not only Rome, but the Jewish hierarchy of that time. It had a propensity, the Acts church, the disciples had a propensity to do that. So the enemy went out to try to destroy the heirs. In Herod's time, he went after the heirs. Not only Herod Agrippa, but Herod, who destroyed every child 2 years old and under that was a boy to try to stop Jesus from fulfilling what he needed to fulfill on the earth to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Because all Herod heard was a king had been born. And Herod wanted to destroy the heirs. It's the same spirit. It's the same spirit that goes back to Athaliah, that goes back to Pharaoh, that spirit that wants to destroy the heirs in order to maintain a very, very dominant, dictatorish position in that region. Isn't it interesting, right before this happened, right before this tragedy struck the nation, President Trump signed an executive order changing the Department of Defense to the Department of War. Because there was about to be a great shift in the season in the nation, from a position of defense to a position of war. However, a different kind of war, a spiritual war, a war that the Acts church fought, a war over a prophetic timeline, a war the church needs to come to the battle lines for. We cannot continue to allow the enemy to take territory in an hour where the church is meant to fiercely grow. We have to recognize the timeline and intercede for James and intercede for Peter. We have to learn from what happened back in Acts during the reign of Herod Agrippa. And we have to now intercede so this timeline does not remain intact. We cannot be terrorized. We must spiritually mobilize. We must not fight out of the flesh, but instead rise up in the spirit. We must, as the sons of Issachar, understand the times and seasons, discern them, and then through Christ Jesus get ahead of them, in order to dismantle the works of darkness and iniquity, to disrupt timelines meant to steal, kill, and destroy, weaken the church, weaken the nation. In an hour, the church should be roaring with intercession and praise, understanding the season that we are in. This timeline, this prophetic timeline in the book of Acts that we've been thrust into now cannot remain intact. We have the chance to intercede for James and Peter so that they are saved, They are rescued from the sword of Herod and from the witness of Saul, because that is what is happening. That is what is happening right now. I'm going to try to reshare this. Hold on. I'm going to try to resend the, there we go. I'm going to try to resend it while I'm talking, because you got, you, do you have it? Oh, do you have it? It did? Okay, play. Perfect. Okay. All right. Our team's saying it already played. Praise God. Because I really wanted you to hear that, because the fact that came out of J.D. Vance's mouth, James, Stephen is killed. Charlie Kirk is Stephen. And now James David Vance gets on the air and says he can't promise that he won't suffer the same fate. This is how you know we are dealing with a very serious prophetic timeline that the Acts Church dealt with. And it was Herod was supposed to be king of the Jews. He was a fake king and a proxy king installed by Rome, but it was their own side partially persecuting them. What does that tell you right now about Stephen and James and Peter? And who is partnering right now with Rome, that had a very extensive deep state, by the way, to harm them? Their own side is partially in on this. Their own side, just as Herod Agrippa had partnered with Rome. It was their own side that went after Stephen and James and Peter. Saul was a Pharisee. He was a Jew. It was their own side that went after them to silence them. And it's the intercession of the church that made the difference and rescued Peter and broke him out of prison. And if we get a grip on this timeline, we can understand we could do the same for James, because next on this prophetic timeline in the book of Acts, of the time of the Acts church that we have been thrust into by the events in this nation, is that Herod is now going to try to go after James with the sword. Who was the one that escorted the body of Charlie Kirk on Air Force Two? It was James David Vance. That was who escorted it. This is a timeline. We have to understand this. And this, and the thing is, myself and Robin Bullock got together in the past 24 hours and with the Lord put all of this together, and then both spoke on it. Knew we were both speaking on it on the same day after these events transpired over the past 24 hours. The answer for the sword of Herod is the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God, which you use in intercession to dismantle strongholds and sophisticated arguments in high places. You use the word of God to dismantle the sophisticated arguments the enemy is making to attempt to keep a timeline intact having to do with the Acts Church that we have been thrust into. You know how I know? All I have to do is go back to arcofgrace.org and click on current blog and look at the titles that the Lord was giving me leading up to this. High alert, dark altars in Trump. Prophetic alert, Acts 9:1-1, this runs deep. The plot against the president. So there was a 9:1-1 ambush came before that, exposing spies in the land. So I could go back and look at those titles and realize that I was sensing it back then, that my spirit was sensing it back then. And by this event, we've literally been thrust into the time of the Acts Church, which means Herod is going to rise up to go after those that are not just active in faith and outspoken, but are actually involved in governmental roles that are actually involved in shaping the nation, that are involved in turning the nation, because the nation is most indeed at a turning point. And we can either allow the enemy to use this prophetic timeline and scatter us, or we can put our hope in the Lord, intercede, let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered in this time. Because the Acts church did not back down. You in this temperature cannot back down. You have to be bold in the Lord. You have to speak the truth. You cannot back off of your position. You cannot stop telling the truth. You cannot let up. You cannot stop speaking the word of the Lord. You cannot stop pointing out truth. You cannot stop holding your position right now. You cannot put your sword down, which is the word of God. In this temperature, you cannot back down. When this happened, the other disciples didn't back down. In fact, their resolve grew. Their faith grew. Their boldness grew. Their willingness to contend in a wicked environment of Rome grew. The church cannot back down in this. In fact, the church, if the church backs down, you're going to show the enemy that this tactic actually works, just like Herod. What does it say in the book of Acts? And I'm going to read this again because this is important, because this is just coming to me now as I'm speaking in flow here. It said, Herod saw that it pleased. Now, this is the key here. Herod saw it pleased the Jews, and he arrested Peter. Acts 12, verse 3, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, what he did to James, he proceeded to have Peter arrested as well. This was during the days of unleavened bread. When the enemy sees that something is working, it encourages him to do it all the more. It gives him the motivation to continue the timeline. It gives him the motivation to continue the destruction. It continues the motivation for him to continue the show and the production that he is putting on before the nation. When there is resistance and he sees his plan is not working, and in fact it is a political and biblical backdraft on not only him but his dark disciples, that is the resistance that you get a retreat. That is the resistance that the church has to give in this hour. This is the resistance that the Acts church has to give in this hour. This is the stand it has to take. This is the turning point. This is the line in the sand. This is showing Herod that this is not working. This is the church growing. There are more people running to church right now and running out and buying Bibles, which is not what the enemy wanted. The enemy wanted to deflate, oppress, depress, break the nation, and destroy the younger generation through this. The enemy wanted to take away their hope. He wanted to take away their vision. He wanted to steal their future. And this is the time, just like the Acts church fiercely grew, no matter what Herod did, no matter who he went after, the Acts church fiercely grew. And this is the dividing line. This is the prophetic timeline. This is the book of Acts that is taking place, that we need to see the church grow in this time. This is it. Stephen's death was the catalyst for all of this. And because it fiercely grew, Herod made a decision to lay his hands on James. And right now, J.D. Vance, James David, is the one rallying people to fight out of faith, to stand in faith, to speak the truth, to rally in boldness. He did all of that in that speech he gave. That's what the disciples were doing at the time that Herod decided to not only seize James, but Saul of Tarsus had his manifesto in his hands and was walking on the road to Damascus to go kill the Christians in Syria. What happened right before all of this? What happened in Syria right before all of this was activated? Christians were butchered. The manifesto was sent. This is how you can tell this is a prophetic timeline that the enemy has hijacked and is attempting to accomplish the same purpose that he did back then. And it's going in this order. So this is why we have to intercede for James, because for whatever reason, the word of God does not say the church interceded for James, but they interceded for Peter when they realized what was happening, when they realized what Herod Agrippa was doing, when they realized that the church had become the target, that Stephen's death had sparked a revival, that Stephen's death had sparked the church to grow, that Stephen's death was a testimony to the disciples, and it strengthened them, and they didn't stop. In fact, they pushed more. The Lord broke Peter out of prison to put Peter back in the square so he can continue preaching the word of the Lord because of the intercession of the church. And this is the time and the temperature we are in. And we have to intercede and pray, I'm telling you, for James David Vance and for Peter Hegseth right now, because they are both believers. They are both being very vocal in this after the death of Charlie Kirk, after the death of Stephen. And I'm telling you, the enemy is following this timeline. He has locked himself into this timeline. He has committed to this, and their own side was assisting Rome to take them down. Their own side that wanted power. Their own side that wanted to hold on to seats. Their own side that didn't want competition. Their own side that wanted proxies are the ones that did this. Watch what comes out. Watch what comes out from this. Watch what begins to come out in the open. This runs way deeper than any of us may think or realize at the moment. But I'm telling you now, Robin said it too, because we both figured it out together, texting back and forth nonstop at that night into the morning, that this is a timeline the enemy has locked in. This is a word of warning that this timeline has locked in, and that the death of Charlie Kirk has triggered this prophetic timeline. It has triggered it. The enemy has attempted to get into the vein of it, and he's going to attempt to follow the events of the book of Acts. And James is next. James is the next target. And then Peter. You have to intercede for James. We can't just jump, leapfrog, and go to Peter. We have to intercede for James. So we're going to pray tonight. We're going to pray because the church is going to fiercely grow in this. The faith of people is going to fiercely grow in this. This is having a political and biblical backdraft on the enemy's camp and those that do his bidding in an epic way. And you can't back down. And you can't ignore what's happening, because the Lord had me saying for months ahead of this, we have to be the watchman on the wall. We have to get up on the wall. It's time to be the watchman. We need to get up on the wall. We can't keep ignoring what's coming. We have to get up on the wall. It's here. It's here. The church is not meant to just play spiritual patty cake and make people feel good. We are literally meant to get ahead of these things and to intercede so the power and might of Almighty God goes forth. And we watch Peter's get broken out of prison. We watch James saved. We watch the church fiercely grow. We watch the Herods be judged by Almighty God. We watch people in droves because they are watching the boldness of the church, flocking to the church in record numbers, seeking God in the middle of this. Because what the enemy wants is all of them in their flesh, rageful, bloodthirsty, angry, violent, vile. That's what the enemy wants out of this. That's what he wanted out of this sacrifice. This was a sacrifice. Stephen was a sacrifice. And that's what this was. But it's triggering something much greater. It's triggering what got triggered for the Acts church, and Rome couldn't stop it. I'm going to say that again. Rome could not stop the church from growing. It didn't matter what they did to James. It didn't matter what they did to Peter. Everything they tried to kill John multiple times. And he survived every attempt. And President Trump's middle name is John. And the middle name of his firstborn, Donald Trump Jr., is also John. No matter what they tried, they couldn't stop it. Because there's a force greater behind it, and that is Almighty God. And no man ever in history, nor ever will, be able to stop the power of Almighty God from coming forth. When God decrees it goes forth, there's not a man, entity, or beast that can stop it. And Rome couldn't stop it. And the corrupt in this nation are not going to stop it. And the liberals that are crying out for blood and happy about this are not going to stop it. You're not going to stop the church. What did he say to Peter? Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell are attempting to trigger a timeline to prevail against the church, overthrow a leadership in this hour, and take down multiple men in the process that are heirs. This is what is happening, and we have to wake up to this and get ahead of this. Because if we get ahead of this, we're going to see some incredibly miraculous events occur over the next year and a half to 2 years. We are actually in a window right now that equals 9/11. This event, this horrific tragedy happened in a window of time that equals 9/11. 2025, 2 plus 2 plus 5 is 9. 2027, 2 plus 2 plus 7 is 11. 9/11. We are in a 2-year window of time that actually equals 9/11. That's why the Lord had me call it Acts 9:1:1, August 28th, Acts 9:1:1, because we've entered a 2-year window of dealing with the Acts church. I truly believe that. And we cannot back down. We have to contend. And we have to understand that the power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us. And power and authority have been given to us from on high to trample upon serpents and scorpions. Not reason with them, not argue with them, not be tempted and succumb to them, not be distracted by them, but to trample them. Trampling is an act. It's a decision you make of your will to destroy something. We have been given power and authority from on high to trample upon serpents and scorpions and against all the power of the enemy, not some of the power, not half of the power, all of the power of the enemy. So nothing shall by any means hurt us. Church, it is time to trample. It is time to trample. It is that time. You got to get on the wall. You got to trample the works of darkness and the iniquity. You have to intercede for James. You have to intercede for Peter. And you have to intercede as well, because there are souls out there in this season that are going to become Pauls and become incredible men of faith, because this is their road to Damascus. It is here. So what we're going to do is we are going to intercede right now. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for J.D. Vance. We're going to pray for Pete Hegseth. We are going to pray for Ben Shapiro. And I don't care who out there doesn't like Ben Shapiro. And I don't think God really cares either. Because if God has a plan for that man, you're not going to stop it. And you can slander that man all you want. Paul killed Christians before. When he was Saul, he killed them. He imprisoned them. He did horrible things. Horrible. And God utilized him to write most of the New Testament. So we have to understand the plan of God is greater. And you're not going to kick against the goads and fight the plan of God if God has commissioned certain men in this time to take Saul the Pharisee and make him Paul the champion of the faith. You are not going to stop that, because that's been triggered in this timeline. It's been triggered in this timeline. So we're going to pray and we're going to intercede, because guess what? They tried to kill Paul too. After Paul had his road to Damascus come to Jesus moment and he began preaching the gospel, they tried to kill him multiple times. Rome and his own people who were in bed with Rome tried to kill him. And we're watching this timeline before our very eyes unfold. So we're going to pray right now. We're going to pray because the hunter is going to become the hunted. That's echoing in this season. The hunter is most certainly going to become the hunted. And this is meant also to stop a call on an administration from doing what Almighty God has called them to do. Because I'm going to tell you something. They are accountable to Almighty God. Ultimately, they're not accountable to the conservative pundits who only know maybe half of the information that they might need to know to make a valuable decision. So they're accountable to God in this. And the administration in this time is accountable for how it chooses to behave in the time of the Acts Church. It is. That time of accountability is here. So let's pray. Let's pray for them right now. And we're just going to intercede. And I'm going to ask you just to continue to pray and intercede as we go forth, because this timeline, the enemy is literally going to attempt to exploit it to its fullest. So Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you this day. We praise you, Father God. We're coming together as the ecclesia, Father God. Your word says if one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, how much could tens and hundreds of thousands do coming together in your name? And Father, we just bring, first of all, the Kirk family before you, Father God. Lord, we know your word says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And we praise you, Father God, the justice of Yahweh has gone out into this situation, Father, that you will pick up every broken piece, put it back onto the potter's wheel, and make it a new vessel, Father God. Lord, that the refiner's fire, Father, is not comfortable, but it produces your reflection in us. When silver is refined in the fire, the silversmith knows it's done when he can see his reflection in it. And Lord, we know it's not pleasant. We know it's not comfortable, but we praise you. You are refining us, Father God, in this time. You are refining us to be weapons, Father God, for you, for your glory, to be instruments used by you for your glory, Father God. And I just pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, you not only comfort the entire Kirk family, but you visit Charlie's children. I am asking you in the name of Jesus Christ for you and your holy angels to literally visit those children and to speak to them and to comfort them, Father God, and to have your hand of protection and guidance upon them as they grow up, Father God. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every assignment of premature death over those children. Any assignment the enemy is attempting to deploy to get into a timeline, to get into a generational line. In the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke it now. We command that dismantled, destroyed, nullified, voided, and broken off of those precious children and cast back to the area as God has designated for such to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return or have anything sent to this place. We speak life and life more abundant over them and their mother, according to John 10:10. The thief may come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Almighty God, Jesus Christ, comes to give life and life more abundant. And we speak that in the name of Jesus Christ over them. And Lord, we intercede before you. We come together as the church, Father God, in intercession and praise, bringing praise and thanksgiving before your court, saying your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your word said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, we are seeking you in this. And Lord, we bring J.D. Vance, James David Vance, before you and his family, Father. We bring his wife before you, that truly through this, Father God, she would come to know who Jesus Christ truly is. She would come to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She would come to know the power, the transformational power through Christ Jesus, Father. And we pray for him and his protection, Father God. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, any way the enemy has attempted to get into a timeline in order to try to destroy that man, Father God, from the purposes that you may have for him, we we command in the name of Jesus Christ right now, those plans are thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, rendered powerless. We apply the blood of Jesus. We command their communication lines be disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And that thwarted, stopped, and broken off of his life in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. Let every door, avenue, opening that the enemy is attempting to get through, any person he is using, be shut, locked, blocked, and sealed off. And we apply the blood of Jesus Christ, Father. And let those schemes and plots be cast back to the areas you have designated for such to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return or have anything sent in his place. Father, we ask you send your holy angels of all offices, rank, and divisions to surround him and his family, to surround President Trump and his family, Father God. Lord, we are asking, Father God, for your truth to prevail in all of this, Father God. We are asking, Father God, Lord, that your truth, Father God, that your unadulterated truth and word prevails in all of this, Father God. And Lord, we pray for Peter Hegseth, Father God. The leader, Lord, the overseer, Father God, of now the now newly named Department of War. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, well, I ask you, fill him with faith. You fill James David Vance with faith. You fill them with supernatural, overflowing, pressed down, shaken together, running over, faith and boldness in you to run the race in excellence, to press towards the mark of the high calling, to push in their faith in this hour, Father God, and supernaturally contend for the cross, supernaturally contend for the younger generation, supernaturally contend for this nation, that that gift of faith in them would be activated, that the shield of faith in the name of Jesus Christ that quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one would go up over them and their families, Father, that your conviction would burden down upon them. Father, if there are doors they're leading open, if there are ways they need to change, if there are things they're saying that are creating warfare and giving the enemy an opening in order to keep this timeline intact, Father, convict them of it. Convict them of it. Make it clear to them, Father God, and cause them to change and reroute, Father God, those decisions, those relationships, Father God, the way they speak, Father God. Let the discipline of the Holy Spirit fall upon their mouths in this time, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Father. And we ask that discipline fall upon them in this time, Father God. And Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, any way the enemy would attempt to legally get into the timeline in order to physically attack them, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we ask before your throne, Father God, that every one of those legal avenues, Father God, is denied in the name of Jesus Christ, is denied by you, Father God, is revoked by you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Father, before your throne, Lord, we are asking you to issue restraining orders against the kingdom of darkness in the name of Jesus Christ that restrains the thief from coming into that timeline, aligning with it in order to continue to steal, kill, and destroy. We ask that life and life more abundant be legally applied right now in the name of Jesus Christ to them and their families, Father God. Open their eyes that they may see in this hour. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear what the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, has to say. Let them hear your voice, Lord, know your voice, and as strangers, they will not follow in this, Father God. Lord, we praise you for that, Father God, that your sheep know your voice, Father God. Let them know your voice in this hour. Let them hearken unto your voice. Let them hear you say, this is the way, James David. This is the way, Peter. Walk ye in it whenever they turn to the right or to the left. Anybody around them, Father God, that is a mole, that is opening the door to the enemy, Father God, that has been planted there in order to set dangerous exploits against them in motion, in the name of Jesus Christ, that the shining spotlight of truth and holiness of Almighty God be shown upon that situation and expose these people publicly and remove them immediately in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we know your holy angels encamp round about, Father God. And we ask that, Father God, of all offices, rankings, divisions, they be dispatched around these families, Father God, to encamp around them, round about, Father God, because the wolves have gone out to look like lone wolves, but they are really a pack of wolves. It is a deception. It is a charade meant to make it look like it's a lone wolf, when really behind that wolf is packs and packs and packs of wolves that have banded together in order to hunt down prey in this time. Let that be reversed, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and the hunter becomes the hunted. Let that be put as evidence in your courts this day, Father God, that that is what shall be carried out, Father God. Lord, let your name be lifted up in praise in this nation, Father God. Let the name of Jesus Christ be lifted up in this nation, Father God. Let faith be lifted up in this nation to Almighty God. You say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land, Father. Lord, we enact 2 Chronicles 7:14 right now, and we legally apply it, Father God, before your throne. Lord, let this nation humble themselves before you. Let the fear of the Lord descend upon the nation. Let the fear of the Lord descend upon J.D. Vance and his family. Let the fear of the Lord descend upon the Trump family. Let the fear of the Lord descend upon Peter Hegseth. Let the fear of the Lord descend upon Generation Z. The fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Father, let that wisdom grow and multiply in an hour where the enemy wants the fools, where the enemy wants people to make foolish decisions, rash decisions, step out too fast, too quick, in order that he may entrap and ensnare them. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, let the sword of the Spirit, Father God, be activated in their lives and every capability of that sword of the Spirit, Father God, to remove every snare of the enemy, every embargo the enemy has put in place, and make the way straight for them, Father God. And Lord, if there's any other James or Peter out there within the administration that the enemy is going to attempt to shadow and piggyback off of this, let that be exposed, dismantled, destroyed, and disabled in the name of Jesus Christ before it can ever accomplish any stealing, killing, or destroying against these individuals, Lord. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Father God. Lord, we know that when we come together in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, touching and agreeing, when we welcome your presence in, there you are in the midst of us, Father God. We just praise you. We glorify, we magnify your name. We lift up praise in this nation, Father God. We praise you in the midst of tragedy, Father God. We praise you in the midst of storm, Father God. We praise you, Father God, in the midst of the devourer going out. We praise you because you are the Lord of hosts. You are the general, Father God. You are Almighty God that leads us in battle. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It is mine to take. It is not for man's to take in this hour. It is for man's to intercede and pray, says the Lord, and bring an outcry up to the heavens, that the whole earth may know that there is a God in heaven who is righteous and who is just and who rules justly and who wanders to and fro across the earth, that the earth may know, that the Muslim nations may know the name of the Lord in this hour, that it may be a witness to the earth in this hour, a light going out amongst the tumult, a light going out amongst the darkness. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It is not yours. Seek forgiveness in an hour of bitterness, says the Lord. Seek forgiveness and watch what's birthed forth out of this nation, says the Lord. Though the enemy wants tumult, though he wants bloodshed, forgiveness shall be the balm in Gilead that silences the angry mob, that silences the voice of darkness, that silences those who want to mock my name in this hour, says the Lord. For I, the Lord thy God, will not be mocked in this hour. I will put on a demonstration in this hour of my power and who I am. And the nation must align with me, says the Lord. Not align with agendas, not align with pundits, not align with accusations that are going out in order to cause mass confusion, says the Lord. There are those who claim to serve me that have given into the dialogue of the enemy and have become a disciples of his in an hour where they should be lifting up my name above any conspiracy that they have spoken has happened. They have made it an idol. In the midst of this, they have attempted to raise a golden calf, and I, the Lord thy God, am going to tear that down in this hour. And platforms will fracture. They will give in. They will break. Because it is my name, says the Lord, that I want lifted up in this hour over the nation. It is my name, says the Lord, that delivers from the prisons, that delivers from the jailers, that delivers from the hand of Saul. It is my name, says the Lord. It is not the pundits. It is not the theories. It is not the speculation. It is me in all my holiness, says the Lord, that delivers. It is me in all my might and my power as I sit on the highest throne of righteousness, says the Lord, that delivers. And I shall forge, says the Lord, from the fire out of the younger generation. I shall forge from the fire of tragedy and affliction a breed of warrior and armor and weapons, says the Lord, where they shall be raised up to be the most forceful, fiery, staunch speakers, contenders of the faith, for I am forging out of the furnace that the enemy attempted to destroy them in. I, the Lord, am in the fire with the younger generation. I am in with the ones who didn't want to bow. I am there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That is the younger generation in a time of Babylon. I am there, says the Lord, and I shall pull them from the grip of the furnace. And I shall forge them, and I shall raise them up to contend, says the Lord, against some of the darkest, most sinister serpents and agendas that have gone out in a time of perceived weakness, says the Lord. It is perceived. However, says the Lord, your strength is made perfect in my weakness. And thus says the Lord, you rise up in my strength in this hour. You rise up in my word this hour. You rise up in conviction in this hour. You rise up in boldness in this hour. You rise up in the full armor of God and stand, says the Lord. You stand and see the salvation of the Lord. You stand and don't back down. You stand and speak the word at the serpents who have attempted to legally open timelines and open doors and open times and seasons contrary to when they should occur. And says the Lord, it is the church that steps in the gap in this. It is the church that rises up in this. It is the church that wakes up. It is the church that marches through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil, for I, the Lord your shepherd, am with you. And the church that abandons in this hour will be the part of the church, says the Lord, that will see famine, that will see famine in many forms. For I am not calling you to be fearful in this time. I am calling you to be righteous. I am calling you to be fiery. I am calling you to speak the truth. War against the lies of the enemy with the truth of my word. War in this wilderness right now. War amidst the axe. War in that way, and watch what I, the Lord thy God, do in this nation. And how I turn areas of this nation that they thought would never turn. Areas that have been left to the jackals. Areas that have been left to dry places. Areas that have been abandoned to poverty and crime and demonic portals and darkness and wickedness by wicked men who sold their own people for the silver they so wanted. Those men in this time, says the Lord, and women, shall and will be dealt with in those territories. And there shall be a turning point there as well, says the Lord. Because it's not just the younger generation that is turning, says the Lord. It is areas of blue. It is areas that have sold out to every ideology that is toxically demonic, says the Lord, that rots the soul. Those areas shall be championed back, says the Lord. So be of good courage, says the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. This is how the church has to war right now. This is it. This is it right here. All glory be to God. All glory be to God. Praise the Lord. But we war from this position. And you pray for the James, and you pray for the Peters. And you pray for those contending, and you intercede right now so the enemy can't lock in on this timeline. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so I think we're going to start to wind it down here because this has been a lot. We're at an hour and 16 minutes. I didn't intend to go this long, but the Lord sometimes has other plans. So this is all I will say. If you go to arcofgrace.org, we have ministry partners. You can click on them and you can go and see them. And you can just go and we have so many wonderful partners that you can go look at if you want to be a blessing to them and to us as well. Brace for Impact is on the front. I didn't know how prophetic this title was going to be of this next book until all of this happened. I knew the Lord had given it to me. I'm beginning to understand why. So that is on arcofgrace.org. as well. So you can go there to learn more about Brace for Impact, about all our ministry partners as well. You know, there's Beverly Hills Precious Metal, there's Givaderm, there's Rafa, there's Grid Down, Chow Down, there's a whole host of them. You can go and look for yourself. I'm not going to put anything up necessarily tonight, but I'll just direct you to it. So praise the Lord for that. Thank you to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. God bless you. Armor up. According to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91, I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, Psalms 123, 34, 35, 51, and Psalms 91 as well. I say that every single day. Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19, I say those every single day. The word is a weapon. You have to swing it. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, straight spiritual intelligence from the throne of God. The order of that prayer we should be incorporating into our prayer life. It's time to get really good and specific when we pray, as well as Hebrews 11. You can also go to arcofgrace.org and go to our events page. We have our address there. We have other information about the ministry and the sanctuary that you may need. So if you go to arcofgrace.org/events, you can find out all of that information there. We made it very easy in one place because we get a lot of emails about it. So thank you everyone for joining us tonight. I may be back on this week, depending. I'm waiting for something with Clay. And so we may be back on this week. We will announce for sure. But thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We love you. I will be live with Donae Clement on her platform at about 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So in about 10 minutes, we're going over there to pray also, because this is how the church is going to war in this time. So if you want, you can follow me over there to Donae Clement's platform, and I will be live there in just about 10 minutes or so. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your evening. Keep the faith.